I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com/fax or a store near you. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I also just like the idea that between the two of them, we are seeing, at least it seems like, at least with Shador, maybe more so than Dylan, we're seeing some steady growth here.
We got Eric Bolin, Yankees beat reporter, and the Guardians lineup coming up in about 20 minutes here. But specific to what we've been talking about, I just think there's a, I think one of the points we made with Kimberly's point at the start of the show was it is a bit generic of like, oh, they believe he can be the starter. That doesn't mean week one. It doesn't mean this year. But I do think, like, when we said earlier, like, I would be shocked if Shador won the job, I think that's where we should start. I think we should start with lower expectations in terms of him starting specifically week one. I have higher expectations of him starting at some point this year because I think, I don't want to say it's fait accompli, but it's not too far off that.
Haven't people gotten there, or am I misreading that? I feel like, I don't think anybody's entering the season with the expectation that he's going
to
start.
So, but I think some people will get ahead of themselves as we get closer to the season. I'm saying, like, this is where we should be, and this is where we should continue to be until they say Shador starts week one. But it's funny, like, there's a huge difference. Like, if Shador, if at some point it's just Shador's turn to go out there, yeah, we'll be excited because it's a big name and who knows, right? We're going to, hey, Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick. We're going to do that game. I know that, but to me, I don't know anything this year could get me more excited than the idea that Shador gets the job week one, because I think for him to do that, it's going to be such an accomplishment.
Like, well, he'd have to look so much better than everybody else in the process.
Well,
too.
And that's
part of the accomplishment side
of it. So that's an important thing to make. This isn't Shador wins the job because he was just okay.
Well, listen, if he was the number 2 overall pick, it would have been that scenario, right?
Yes.
I think a lot of people would have been like, but is he actually the better quarterback? And I think Shador actually has this going for him, that if he were to win the job, which we do think is very low percentages, it would come with the idea that not only did he outright earn it, but he was just outright better than everybody.
There's a basic excitement you and I are going to have because it's the NFL season. The Browns are here. Let's all right. We talked a lot about this. Go out there. Go do the thing. Now, there are not going to be a lot of excitements in terms of expectations for the team. But you want to talk about the thing that, and this is where you and I will be on lockstep, because you are the foremost Shador guy in Cleveland. I am not. I was a guy saying, don't take him at 2. You want to take him at 33. That's a different conversation. But like, if right now, we are, well, okay, it'd be like with 2 weeks to go. If with 2 weeks to go, the Browns said Shador Sanders is the starting quarterback week one for the Cleveland Browns, how could you not be so much more excited? Because not just because of all the things of, oh, he's Shador and he's a Superman. No. Because I will know for him to do that, he will have gone from 4th on the depth chart to 1. And that would be an incredible accomplishment. And so just the idea that he turned that he changed that many minds, because there are people that wanted Dylan Gabriel over him, and it probably was Kevin Stefanski. I don't know you could. I don't know you could set up for a way that would get me more Jones that close to the season than Shador actually wins the job, because he's not getting it if the other three guys just suck.
Now, from a Jimmy Haslam perspective, it would take away the Browns' ability to unleash Shador in week 6 or week 7 or week 8, and then almost feel like you get to restart the season.
Yes, but I mean the implication is.
It's an awful way to think, because that would be. It's not how Kevin Stefanski should think about any of this. Like the idea of like, oh, we have to wait to keep people engaged and wait to keep people excited for the whole amount of the season. But if Haslam was the one driving the bus, that could be a way of how he thinks.
It could be. I think if Shador starts week one, my assumption, and this is I probably the only guy that I feel this way, my assumption would be it's his job unless he's awful. Or injuries. Injuries would be the bigger thing for me.
When I do think that part of the equation, outside of injuries, if he's just awful, that would be a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. But is it really that awful for the Browns? Like, it'd be awful for me, because I don't think that would happen, and I don't think that'd be great. But is it that awful for the Browns if you just reverse the expected order and Shador goes first, and let's say he goes 6 or 7 games? Like, how many games does Shador have to basically prove that he can sink or swim? You know, Jaden Daniels last year wasn't awesome right away. It did take a little bit of time, and then he was awesome and he was great. But, like, the expectation there, like, does Shador, if he starts week one, does he have the whole season?
Yeah, as long as he doesn't look awful. Like, if he looks playable, if one of the rookies plays early, because the point is, the more you play, the better you should look. So the two things we're looking for, are you playable? That's the first test. The second thing is, do we see growth over time? And so as long as there's not a massive regression, right? And I'm not even talking like there'll be a point in the season where if Shador has, you know, 8 okay games and 1 bad game, even depending on your record, okay, and go out there for the 10th game, we'll see.
Yeah, right? I mean, my point, though, is that you don't owe him anything, and so I think that's why it's different. Like Bryce Young, for instance, you know, with Carolina, stunk up the joint that whole entire year. He still got a chance in year two and looked much better in year two, but like he still got that chance because of where he was taken.
Oh, no, absolutely. But again, Bryce was unplayable year one.
He was awful, but that's what I'm saying.
If Shador is just okay, I think okay will be good enough to start the season for a long time.
Because like Bryce really was at a spot where I'm like, I've never seen anybody look as bad at the quarterback spot as he looked.
And this is where I'm different than how the Browns feel. I'm willing to say, well, he's just been okay, but there's a little bit of growth there. Let's keep this, let the kid keep playing, as opposed to going to Dylan Gabriel, and as opposed to, Dylan just looks okay, or maybe there's a little regression, like, because I don't believe in the physical talent of Dylan Gabriel. I do believe in the ability to be at least a salient quarterback with Shador.
If you go with Shador first, can you go to Pickett at all, or do you think Pickett or Flacco, whoever's there, do you think they demand a trade out? Do you think they decide they don't even want to be the backup? Because I'd imagine you'd keep just one of them at that point. What happens to that other veteran?
Yeah, they just stay there unless like, the Pickett, rookies get injured.
I think people think that Pickett's got like a lot of options here. Like in general, Pickett doesn't have any other options.
Yeah.
Pickett's going to die on the vine. He would just wait for an injury or something to happen, and that's his only real opportunity.
216-474-0092. What would Shador winning the starting job for week one mean for the Browns? Shador getting a chance to start at some point this season is not the same thing as Shador starting week one. I think that is a long shot right now. I would be shocked if it happened. I would also be insanely impressed if it actually did happen. Let's go with Ryan in Concord. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
JP, Nick, man, you guys are awesome. Just really, really relishing the fact that I'm actually able to work and hear you guys sometimes. Now it's permanent almost. And you guys are just, you're making me laugh on the job site. It is too awesome. I forgot how good you guys were. But anyway, I
digress. We agree.
I know you do. You're humble. No, but I tell you, I feel, you know what? I mean, I've been watching this Browns carousel since obviously 99 coming back with Ty Detmer, Tim Couch. You're alluding to week one compared to obviously thrown in there. Week 4, 5, 6, et cetera. The hypotheticals are off the chain. I really, my hands are thrown up. I think a lot of people want to see him succeed, just like Manziel's and just different quarterbacks of yesteryears. What will play out? I don't know. I really don't. I'm still puzzled by the whole uniqueness of this because a lot of people have him pegged in the second pick overall, falling to the 5th round. Even the Brownies obviously taking another quarterback prior to him. Now we're talking about him possibly starting week one. What a unique just carousel. I'm just grateful to this kid. Has like the pedigree, obviously, to have his head focused. He's been in the limelight probably since you know, since I've been young. So, again, this is not like a fear factor mentality thrown to the wolves. But I do know one thing. I want him to succeed. I'm not sure that throwing him in week one is the best idea. This is such a unique year. I'm not sure what the front office truly wants from the Browns this year. Do we want to win, or do we want to stay relevant, or do we want to just kind of go into the radar blip and try for a top-tier pick of Alar or Manning or whomever is next year, because I think that's where they're going. But if Sanders does work out, this is just the most unique scenario, but I do want him to succeed. I don't think week one. I just feel that he's going to be week 4, 5, 6, getting his bearings straight. I know I said a lot, but again, I just feel Sanders is just one of those unique players. We still just don't know what to make out of him. Hey guys, great show as always. I'm definitely listening tomorrow. Thanks.
I appreciate you. I like that. He's already going to make sure he's going to listen tomorrow too.
Today's show isn't even done, but he's got tomorrow's show on the docket.
No, I like that. That's the way we do it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever. Yeah, no, I love it. I don't think I've ever done that though, where it's like I'm watching like a TV show. And I'm like, oh, we got 5 minutes left in this one, but I know I'll be tomorrow.
Oh, man, I do that all the time. Like, when we give new shows a chance, we just did this with a HGTV show, and it was just trash. I don't remember what it was about.
Look at you in the home and garden television.
You're
turning into Daryl Ryder.
These people, they bought a hotel in Costa Rica, and they sunk their life savings into it, and just the guy was a melodramatic whiner,
which is good for TV, by the way.
It was contrived, and then every once in a while, like this Costa Rican contractor would come in and be like, "I have bad news," and it would always be like, "You have to pay more money, or the zoning permits aren't coming in." And you tell this guy was just grifting naive American
zoning
couple.
Permits in Costa Rica,
and I was like, I really wish you just leaned into being more of a villain instead of trying to be a good guy, but. Ness and I started watching it, and 5 minutes in, I was hate watching it. And we got like 5 minutes out with 5 minutes to go in the episode. I was like, "Are we doing this again?" And she's like, I think we have to." And then we watched the whole damn series. And every time with 5 minutes to go, I don't know if I want to. Are we gonna I guess we're gonna do it again.
Sunken cost fallacy. You were too invested into it. You didn't have to. I'm here to tell you, with any TV show or series, you're not liking it, there's so many other options.
I now want to go
hit the eject button.
I now want to go to their hotel and just be like, "Man, your show was terrible. Lovely hotel."
Did you check up and make sure that the hotel actually is like still running and everything?
It actually opened, and I was like, "Okay, we'll see how long."
A hotel magnet in Costa Rica. That's such a life.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it's not on the beach. What did you really do if you bought a Costa Rican hotel that's like 3 blocks from the beach?
Wasted a lot of time and money, if you ask me.
What would Shador winning the starting job for week one mean for the Browns to you?
Well, I mean, I'm torn because I really do believe whatever quarterback starts off the season is just being thrown to the wolves. I mean, you start off Joe Burrow into Lamar Jackson, into Jordan Love, into the Lions, and then into the Vikings that just won 14 games last year. Like, you are being sent. It's not an early grave, but like it's an impossible feat. So if you gave Shador,
I don't think it's impossible. That's the only place I disagree with you.
You're outmatched in the quarterback matchup, and it doesn't matter who it is that gets thrown out there in week one. You're heavily outmatched just by the idea that you're a rookie in this regard. And so like you'd have to. I think you'd be fighting an uphill battle. I would hope that he would have a long leash if that was the case.
But that's the win, man. If he survives that...
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com/facts, or a store near you. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6 week, and look, if he looks just salient as a rookie against that schedule, yeah, we should expect big things as he continues to play.
I know. I'm worried enough people would, because we have all day to talk about this, but I'm worried enough people would just be like, oh, he's 0-5 to start his career. He stinks. And it's like, that doesn't tell the whole story.
216-474-0092. What would Shador winning the starting job for week one specifically mean for the Browns? Eric Bolin, Yankees beat reporter for Newsday, hometown kid, joins us in 5 minutes. We'll talk about this Guardians-Yankees series and why the Yankees really aren't the Yankees anymore in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. So our next guest is not just Cleveland-born and bred, but he's also going to be able to walk us through fan interference, this Guardians-Yankees series, and so much more. And you know him as the Yankees beat reporter for Newsday. You also know him not just as a Clevelander, but formerly 1440 WRRO, the talk of the valley in Warren, Ohio. The great Eric Bolin appears now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, as I always say, it's great to be back in my hometown in any capacity. I try to get back as often as I can, not often as I would like, but this will suffice. And Nick, obviously go back a long way, and you mentioned my start of my career at the WRRO in Warren, where, of course, I met your father, who to this day is still one of the funniest human beings that I have ever come across.
I'd like to think I'm also one of the funniest human beings. By the way, we had Daryl on at 420, and I completely forgot to mention this, but so now I'm going to have to tweet that or text him that I got to talk to Bolin.
Well, you know, and I'm sure Daryl has told you he was an intern at WRRO Radio in Warren when I was working there. So I've actually known Daryl since he was in high school at John F. Kennedy in Warren, and he was the PA announcer, if you can imagine that, or you probably can imagine that, for their high school boys basketball games.
Oh, I have that over Daryl all time, that his introduction to the business is my dad hired him as an intern. Thank you, you're welcome, and I'm sorry, Cleveland.
That is a mic drop.
All right, Eric, real quick, was it fan interference yesterday?
Well, I mean, by the letter of the rule, I mean, it certainly was. I mean, the fan put his hand basically in Judge's glove, and because the glove was overhanging the wall, but it technically was not in the seats, it is fan interference. If you see the replay, the slow motion one where they freeze the glove, it's above the wall part, and it's not in the stands. If you go into the stands to try to make a catch, as you know, it's fair game. A fan can rip your glove off, as Mookie Betts discovered last year in the World Series. That's another discussion for another day. But because Judge technically was still in the field of play with his glove, it is fan interference.
Eric, I want to know, you know, obviously everyone knows that the Yankees spend a lot of money, and that's always a conversation. Do Yankees fans, though, or even yourself, do you get agitated at how little conversation goes to the homegrown players, the amount of homegrown players that are in this lineup? I mean, Judge, Dominguez, Volpe, Wells, Ben Rice, like there's a lot of homegrown, the Yankees drafted and developed these guys, players.
Yeah, I mean, they probably don't get the credit that they, you know, deserve for that. And you have to keep in mind, too, that group of players that you just mentioned, it's kind of a more recent phenomenon. They've gone long stretches here where they really struggled developing players, particularly starting pitchers, which still kind of is a problem, and position players as well. Obviously, Judge is the highest profile of those guys in the last 10 years. But after Judge, there was a pretty significant drought in that regard. And then all of a sudden, like you mentioned, some of them, Dominguez, Volpe, Austin Wells, you know, that have come through the system. And they've got a couple of more that they're high on, but yeah, they probably haven't gotten the credit that they deserve. But you know, this is my 17th year covering this organization, and I can, you know, tell you that there is a lot of you know, a lot of drought, like I said there too, with player development for a variety of reasons. You know, they don't draft as high as some teams do on an annual basis because they generally, you know, are winning 90 plus plus games a year. But you know, they've had some issues in their player development, but certainly, you know, they've had a pretty decent crop that has come along the last few years that has allowed them. Look, I mean, their dream scenario is always to be, you know, let's develop players, draft well, develop them well, and then plug in along the margins with the big free agent ticket. Hal Steinbrenner, the owner, has said for as long as I've covered this team, he used to say, I don't think you should need a $200 million payroll to field a World Series contending team. And then he abridged that a few years ago where it went from $200 million to $300 million. But, you know, it's the way that he feels is best to run the team, which is to have good player development and then, you know, flex that financial muscle every once in a while. Do I get tired of hearing it? You know, that's what comes with being in the spotlight, which the New York Yankees are. And if there's certain things that you don't do well, and you're able to spend your way out of mistakes, the way the Yankees are, the way the Dodgers are, and the way the Mets are, and really it's those three teams and everyone else coming in after that when it comes to your payroll and spending money. But I don't think those criticisms have been unfair, no.
Eric Boland of Newsday on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Yankees beat reporter. We had a host on the station claim about 2 weeks ago that the Guardians are wasting Jose Ramirez's prime and that he'll become a cautionary tale around baseball because the Guardians haven't put the right pieces around him. Slight paraphrasing there as I think of my coworker that I'm doing that to, but the same can be said about the Yankees. Why haven't the Yankees been able to win a World Series despite having arguably one of the three best players in baseball consistently in the last decade?
I'm sorry, you cut out a little bit. Why haven't they been able to win one with Judge? Is that the question?
Yes.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, the short answer are the Houston Astros. You know, the Astros have been a thorn in the Yankees' side in the postseason. Really, you know, since Judge debuted the first time, you know, it was 2017 when they played, and the Astros came back from a 3-2 series deficit and won that series in seven games in Houston. In 2019, they lost in six games. You know, you can go back even to 2000, well before Judge, 2015, Dallas Keuchel and the Astros knocked them out in the one game, wild card. They played again in 2022. The Astros embarrassed them with a four game sweep. So some of the best teams that Judge has been on, and I might argue that, you know, the best team Judge has been on, I think this year's is pretty good, but the 2017 team, you know, they really thought they could have beaten the Dodgers that year if they had been able to get through Houston. But and the 2022 team was pretty good too, and then they just laid an egg when it came to the Astros in the ALCS that year. But you know, they've run into a buzzsaw a few times, and Boston got them one year in a wild card, and then got them in a division series in 2018. The one constant has been, and I've covered Judge his entire career. You know, he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. If his career ended now, you know, he's probably first ballot to Cooperstown. But the one hole on his resume, and this relates to what you're saying, it's kind of a meandering answer, but Judge has not had good postseasons since he's been with the Yankees. And even them getting to their first World Series last year for the first time since 2009, if you look at Judge's numbers in all three rounds, but in the first two rounds to get to the World Series, he didn't hit very well. It was Giancarlo Stanton really that helped lead the way for the Yankees getting into the World Series. So I think it's been a combination of, you know, they've run into the proverbial hot team more often than not. It was the Astros, and you combine that with the fact that the offense would get shut down by whichever pitching staff they were going against, and Aaron Judge is at the top of the list of guys getting shut down.
Eric, great stuff as always, man. Always great to have you back here. And I've already texted Daryl. He's very jealous.
Well, Well, didn't he? He was on an hour before me, and I'm guessing Daryl probably insisted on staying for more than one segment.
If I had told him previously, he'd be on the segment with us right now.
And then we really would have had a role reversal, because then he could have been asking me questions, and that would have been just uncomfortable for all of us.
And then he would never shut up when asking him. Eric, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Guys, I really appreciate you guys having me on. Reach out anytime. And, hey, you know, in my time covering the Yankees, I think they've played Cleveland in the postseason four times, so maybe we'll see you guys in October.
The Eric Bolin series, we always call it. Be good, buddy. Eric Bolin there of Newsday, Cleveland Zone on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say on the Yankees. And is the clock already ticking for this major, major player on the Cleveland Cavaliers? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com/fax, or a store near you. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.